Come, Holy Spirit, give life to my words. Please be seated. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, one in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Today's Gospel is from Matthew. In the New Revised Standard Version, it is titled, The Commissioning of the Disciples. This is indeed an interesting place to start to write a sermon. As the disciples go to the mountain, as Jesus had directed them, they met him, and while they were with him on the mountain, they began to worship him. The passage says that while they were worshiping them, they had doubts. What kind of doubts? Doubts about Jesus? Doubts about themselves? Doubts about the future? The passage does not say, but ancient scholars have suggested that those doubts may have been based on honest and truthful feelings that the disciples had. I know that I would have had doubts. The teacher had just been crucified. He had been buried. He had risen. Quite a bit to try to understand in only a few days. Then Jesus changes their mission. They had been healing, casting out demons, raising the dead. But they did not have authority to teach. Now Jesus tells them they are to go out into all the world to make disciples of all nations, to teach them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded of them, and to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing in the name of the three persons of the Trinity. In the name of one God. Three persons in one. This is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus gives this command. And just before he said that, he told his disciples, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." All authority. I'm sure the disciples were probably confused right about now. All authority? Isn't that God's domain? Scholars have determined, and I'm going to read this verbatim, as Jesus is God's representative, there is no competition between God as King and the authority of Jesus. This brings us to a point where we need to delve a little bit deeper into the mystery of the Trinity. Throughout history, people have tried to understand the doctrine and the mystery of the Trinity, God in three persons. Where does this concept come from? It is based in Scripture. The concept of the Trinity is revealed to us in Genesis, in the creation story. God the Father, creator of the entire universe, speaks the Word, and the Word was Jesus. And the Spirit of God swept over the waters. St. John's Gospel shows the understanding of this divine relationship, that relationship between God and Jesus. It is recorded in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This is the Word that was embodied in Jesus. Later in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is baptized, John the Baptist sees the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. So now we have all three persons of the Trinity appearing in different times, in different places. God first revealed himself to Adam and Eve in the garden, and then to Moses in the burning bush. Once the Father had revealed himself to humanity, then and only then could he reveal God the Son. Then it was possible to reveal God the Holy Spirit. Each had to be revealed in time and sequence so that humankind could understand. God is triune, three in one, one and inseparable. Scholars have labored to understand this concept. One notes, the doctrine of the Trinity can be regarded as the outcome of a process of sustained and critical reflection on the pattern of divine activity revealed in Scripture and continued in Christian experience. What is Christian experience? We see the glory of God all around us, in life itself, in the beauty of the earth, in the love we receive from others. We read the Gospels telling us of the works of Jesus and the interaction between God, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We too experience the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. It is that small voice that comes to us when we are in prayer with God through Jesus the Son. And in this way, we experience the Trinity. During a lecture at the Deacon's School, it was explained that God is the eternal giver who gives continuously to the Son and receives from the Son. The Son is the eternal receiver who receives from the Father and gives back to the Father. And all this happens while the Spirit is binding them together with eternal, everlasting love. This is the Trinity. Mortal minds are so limited to understand the omniscience of the mind of God. We must use mortal thoughts, mortal images, mortal ideas in order to try to understand the mystery of the Trinity. Many artists have tried to depict the various aspects of God, Son, and Spirit individually, but none has been able to capture the unity of the Trinity. That can only be understood by the Trinity themselves, as each member of the Trinity is bound together in love. So should each of us be bound together with the Trinity and to each other, not just those people we know, but to all the world in love and compassion, giving, receiving, wrapped in love. Christ, as one of the Trinity, became man to show us the absolute power of the Trinity, not just in works of healing, but in relationship to all, sinners and disciples, brothers and sisters, humanity and Trinity. For years, I thought I understood the concept of the Trinity, but it was a very elementary and simplistic understanding. But the concept of eternal giver, receiver, and lover made this easier for me to understand. One author so eloquently stated, "The Father pours out divine life to the Son. The Son speaks and embodies this life, and the Spirit brings both together in passionate delight and love." God who created everything out of love, the God who redeemed us, and the God who guides us is one God who is more easily comprehended in Christian life. If we can only understand that our life as Christians is blessed, not only by our understanding the teachings of Christ, but also by trying to teach others, then we may become more fully wrapped in the love of the Spirit as we try to follow the teachings of Christ. Each of us has experienced giving and receiving, and hopefully we're wrapped in love by somebody. I often see that I'm much better at giving than receiving. Receiving can make me quite uncomfortable, especially when I see the value of something I'm giving as being less, or receiving as being less than something I'm giving or that I can give. Being wrapped in love is ideal, and some of us have probably only experienced this when we were infants. This is one of the mysteries of the Trinity. God's limitless love and gifts to God, to each other in the Trinity, and to us. Gifts we do not deserve, but gifts we still receive. Here's a question. What can God give God that God does not already have? The Trinity has the entire universe and everything in it. Is love the only thing that is truly needed by the Trinity? God creates us creates love for us. The magnitude of that love is incomprehensible, but it is real, and it is with us. And God can only receive what we give freely. Trying to understand the concept of the Trinity is a spiritual exercise that helps us broaden our understanding of Christianity and the doctrine of the Trinity. If we do not ask questions, if we do not read, if we do not talk with each other, then how are we going to expand our knowledge and in turn our understanding of the Trinity? I have found that learning together, whether it's in education for ministry or the deacon school or a parish forum, that dialogue, discernment, and theological reflection are fundamental to understanding. Once we begin to understand more fully, we're able to act more fully in bringing to life the teachings of the Son. If we are not energized to serve, how can we serve others? It is by knowing and loving each person of the Trinity, and by understanding the gifts that each person of the Trinity bestows upon us, that not only energizes us, but also empowers us to go out into all the world. This provides an example of our faith, our devotion, and our love for each other, which sets an example for others to follow. When we work with other people, people of different backgrounds, people of different cultures, people of different needs, anyone not like us, how are we going to help? Can we gain their trust and confidence? What exactly is it that we are called to do? We all have needs. We all have gifts. How can we use our gifts? Can we listen to their needs? Can we acknowledge their gifts? How can they define their needs? How can they use their gifts? How are we going to work together in mutual discernment? It is not any one person or group that must do everything, but it is our responsibility to create an environment of love, cooperation, and action in the spirit of ministry. If we are effective in providing a positive environment where people feel empowered to accomplish good works in the name of God, Son, and Spirit, then we have taught them what the Spirit of the Trinity can accomplish in the hearts of individuals united in the Trinity and the servant ministry of Christ. It is through the Trinity that we kindle the spark. God the Father will bless our actions. God the Son has already taught us, and God the Spirit will fan the spark to create the intense flame of mission. This is the Trinity. Amen.